Good evening. Welcome to Fellowship Live on Wednesday night. It's good to be back with you tonight as I'm here in the Lord's house and you're there at home. And I hope you have had a wonderful day and had an opportunity just to stop and prepare your heart to spend some time in the Word of God tonight. I truly miss being with my church family in the house of the Lord, but I am thankful that we have this opportunity to be one with another through technology to share the Word of God tonight. Before we get started, I know usually on Wednesday nights we have a time that we share prayer requests before we get into the Word of God, and I want to remind you that you're more than welcome to leave a prayer request in the comment section here on our post as it's going out tonight, or you're also welcome to go there to the page and send a message if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to be in special prayer about. As I think through the church family tonight, I know there are many requests that need prayer. I know there's many situations, some things going on in people's lives and in their families, some lost loved ones that need our prayers. And definitely we want to be in prayer for all of those situations tonight. Even no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in mine, I'm glad that I'm in a place of refuge tonight. I'm in a place that I can let everything else go for a few minutes and that I know that God is good and that God is in control. You may be saying, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the valley that I'm walking through. But imagine that valley without the presence of God in your life. Or imagine that valley without knowing that God is there with you, carrying you through that valley. You may say, well, you don't know what kind of trial or test or tribulation I'm in the middle of. Imagine those things without an almighty God to go with you through those things. But once again, we ask you to feel free to share your request there with us in the comment section. I will ask you, if you want to, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter number 29. That's where we're going to take our first verse of reading tonight, and then we're going to be in one other place tonight, good Lord willing. I'll ask you, if you want to, go ahead and hit that share button on the Facebook post so that you can be inviting your friends to church with you tonight on Wednesday night. And we'll take the next 20 minutes or so and spend together in the Word of God. If you will, bow your head, pray with me, and pray for me that God will just bless as we get in to His Word tonight. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all Your many blessings. And God, I know that I'm not worthy to stand here tonight. That God, I'm just a sinner that You saved by Your marvelous grace. And I want to thank You and praise You for saving me. And God, I pray that You'll keep a strong desire in my life that I want to live for You, that I'll seek for You in my life and seek Your direction in my life. And God, I pray for all the prayer requests, God, the ones that You know that I know nothing about, whether any are ever left in our comment section or not. I'm glad that You read our hearts. You don't have to read the comment section, but You know the needs in our hearts and our lives. And God, we want to thank You and praise You for being that big of a God, for knowing those needs in our lives and God being able to take care of those. And we ask You to take care of those. God, we want to thank You for whatever valley we may be in, whatever trial, tribulation, or test, that You're there with us. God, I pray as we get into Your Word tonight that You'll bless. God, we know that Your Word is powerful. God, we pray, dear Father, that You'll take it and use it in our lives. God, help us that we may draw closer to You as Christians. God, I pray most of all, if there's one that's lost, that may happen by this post tonight, may just happen to hear a part of this message, I pray that something will be said or done, that Your Holy Spirit may speak to their heart and they may see their need for salvation and come to accept You before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank You for loving us before we ever loved You. God, help us to always use our lives to give You glory and to point someone else to the cross. And in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Again, if you will take your Bibles, turn with me, Psalm chapter number 29. I want to share a verse of Scripture with you that was shared with us on our church page earlier this week. I believe it was Miss Linda that shared some Scripture this week on our Facebook page or our Facebook group, whatever it is. I'm still a little lacking on my terminology for what we got going on. Only thing I know is I got some great people working behind the scenes that make all of this come together, and I really do appreciate them for that. But as I was reading these Scriptures that Miss Linda had shared and said she had, I believe, read that morning and wanted to share with us for some encouragement, there was one that just jumped out at me as I read it. And you may have even seen that I commented below the post, Holy Ghost goosebumps. And I want to share with you tonight that this verse of Scripture, when I read it, I mean, I could feel the Holy Spirit just speak to me right where I was at and encourage me with this verse. I want to share it with you tonight in Psalms chapter number 29, verse number 2. The Bible says, given unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. One more time. Give unto the Lord glory, the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we look at this verse of scripture tonight, as we take just a couple of minutes to discuss it, I want you to look tonight at what it says. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. I want you to know that God is worthy of us to give him glory. He is worthy of us to have a life that gives him glory, to have actions that give him glory, to have words in our life that give him glory. And I want you to notice the reason that as verse number 2 states, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. I want you to notice that it doesn't say, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name because of his works, because of what he's done. See, that's not there. The Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. It's not because of what he has done. It's not because he created a beautiful heaven and a beautiful earth and wonderful people for us to be around. It's not because that he made mankind so wonderful and the way that he made our bodies and the things. And the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and what a creation that God made as he created us. And as we look around at everything else that God has created, this verse doesn't say give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name because of the things that he has done. It doesn't say because of the works that he has done, because he has healed the sick, or because he has healed the blind, or he made the lame to walk again, or even because he had raised the dead when he was walking here on this earth. The Bible doesn't say that we should give him glory because of the works that he has done, but it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. It's not that he deserves glory because of what he has done, but he deserves glory because of who he is. We are serving a God tonight that is the Almighty God, the one true God tonight. Tonight we are worshiping, and we should be worshiping the one true God, and we should be giving glory unto his name. It is a name that is above every name. And you say, well, wait a minute, I thought that was talking about Jesus. Well, Jesus and God are one. So I want to share with you for just a minute about the name of our Heavenly Father, about the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and them being one, how that they deserve our glory because of their name, that we are serving a name that is above every name. We are serving the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright and Morning Star, our Jehovah. We are serving a wonderful God tonight, and he is worthy of our glory because of his wonderful name, because of who he is and not because of what he's done. I am so thankful about the things that God has done in my life and the way that God did this creation. It's so wonderful. And yes, I want to worship him for that. I want to give him thanks for that. But he deserves glory just because of who he is. It's about who he is and not what he has done, for the reason that he deserves glory. As we get into some examples that I want to look at tonight, we're going to talk about some ways that people give God glory. We're going to look at some different people in the Bible who gave God glory in different ways, because we all have this different imagination and this different thought process of what it looks like to give God glory. But I want to tell you tonight that there are many different ways that we can give God glory and that we can honor him because of who he is. These examples tonight are kind of going to be, you're going to see that they're kind of a response of what Jesus done. It's kind of going to be in response of something that God did or that Jesus did while he was here on this earth. But I want you to know that we should not always just give God glory because of what he has done, but definitely because who he is. And as I was thinking about some different ways that we can give God glory and some different examples in the Bible of giving God glory and people who did, maybe in these examples, like I said, in response to something that he did, I want you to know that there were many examples that come to my mind, and I don't have time to discuss them all tonight. There's one that I want to focus on, but for just a minute, I want to give you a couple of examples of things that we could have mentioned, that we could have talked about, even though we're only going to focus on one here in just a few minutes. But one example that we could have talked about, but we're not, is over in Acts chapter number 3, as there was a lame man sitting there at a gate called Beautiful. And here comes Peter and John as they're on their way there to the synagogue or there to the temple. And as they pass this man sitting here at the Beautiful gate, he asks an alms of them. And as the Peter and John pass by, as they look down on him and they see that this man at the Beautiful gate is expecting something, I can read in Acts chapter number 3 how they looked at him and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible tells us that immediately that his ankles and that his feet, they gained strength. The Bible tells us that they took him by by the hand and they lifted him up. And the next thing you know is that we read that he is walking and leaping and praising God because of the wonderful thing that God did. But it was all because of who God was, and that God showed mercy, and that God's power moved on this man's life. And as Peter and John went by and they said, "We don't have any silver and gold, but I tell you what we do have. We're going to give you something more better than that." I'm kind of liking that word "more better" here recently. "We're going to give you something better than what you're asking for. We're going to show you who Jesus Christ. We're going to show you that name that is above every name." And as he goes out and he says that he is walking and leaping and praising God, yeah, it's okay to walk and leap and praise God, to give God glory. I've seen people in my life run to give God glory. I've seen them raise their hands to give God glory. There's so many different ways that we can give God glory. And here in Acts chapter number 3, even though we're not focusing on that man tonight, we can see that you could walk and run and praise God in order to give him glory. We could also discuss a man over in Mark chapter number 5. The Bible tells us that as Jesus gets off a ship and he walks up, and here's a man that approaches him out of the tombs. This man is so in such a bad way that they've already cast him out of the city. He's living out here in the middle of the tombs all by himself. And the Bible tells us that he's running around naked and even taking rocks and cutting himself because he's in such a bad way. He's out there. He has already been cast out, and they have chained him inside one of these tombs. And he is so possessed that he has ripped these chains off the wall. He has broken the fetters that tried to hold him. And yet he is out here running around in the tombs because he's in such a bad shape. We see that as Jesus walks by, and as Jesus comes, I believe that Jesus went to him on purpose. I don't believe it was a coincidence as Jesus went by that way that day. But as it is, as the man comes to him and as Jesus approaches him, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't dodge him as maybe some of us would have. Jesus didn't judge him maybe as some of us would have. Jesus didn't look at him and say, "Man, that dude's crazy," as maybe some of us would have. But Jesus approached him with the power of God to change his life. And we know that Jesus cast out the devils that was in his life. And I want to show you that maybe first of all in Acts chapter number 3 we see a man who was walking and running and leaping and praising God to give God glory. I want you to see what it looks like in Mark chapter number 5 to give God glory. The Bible tells us that when the people in the town came by and seen, that they were afraid, because all of a sudden this man who was running wild out in the tombs, he was clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, I may walk and run and leap sometimes to give God glory, and there may be times I just want to crawl right up to his feet and give him glory with my life. We see this man clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But we're not going to focus on him tonight, but we could also look at a man over in Luke chapter number 19, as we see that Jesus is coming by, and there's a little man here in town that the Bible tells us that is short of stature. He hears that Jesus is coming by him, and he wants to see who this man Jesus is. He's heard some talk about him, and he knows a few little things about him, but he's curious enough that he wants to see. But there's such a crowd that's gathered there that day that old Zacchaeus can't quite see over the crowd. So the Bible tells us that he found him a sycamore tree, and he climbed up in this sycamore tree that he may see Jesus as he comes by. Once again, I'm glad that Jesus didn't dodge him, that Jesus didn't judge him, that Jesus didn't try to get around without having to talk to him, because he knew the things that he did. But the Bible tells us that he went right to the tree where Zacchaeus was sitting there, and he walked up right up to Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, I need you to make haste. I need you to come down, for today I'm going to your house." Now as Zacchaeus come down, and as Jesus went to have supper with Zacchaeus there in his house, there was people that couldn't believe what Jesus had done. There was people that couldn't understand why Jesus would go and sup with this sinner, why Jesus would go to him. But I'm so thankful that Jesus sought me out as a sinner, that he knew that I was going to be a failure, that he knew I was going to continue to fall, that I was going to have faults, that I was going to sin, but yet he wanted a relationship with me. I'm so thankful that Jesus passed by my way one day. And as Zacchaeus and Jesus walk into the house, the Bible tells us that salvation come to the house of Zacchaeus that day. And as salvation come to the house of Zacchaeus that day, I want you to notice how Zacchaeus gives God glory. The Bible tells us, he says, "Jesus, if I've done anyone wrong," he said, "I'm going to restore what I've took wrong from them, and then I'm going to restore it fourfold." He said, "I'm going to go back and I'm going to make some wrongs right in my life. There have been some wrongs in my life that I've had to go back and right. There's been some things that I've had to go back and say I'm sorry for. And I hope to goodness that God got glory out of that. I hope to goodness that God was the one that was glorified. Because you know what? My flesh is weak. I fall, I fail, and I make mistakes. But I'm thankful that Jesus, that God's Holy Spirit convicts my life. And there have been times that I've had to go back and give God glory by righting some wrongs in my life. I'm thankful for His salvation that forgave me of those wrongs, but I'm also thankful for the conviction that made me want to go back and right those wrongs. But we're not going to talk about him tonight either. There's one more that we could talk about over in Acts chapter number 16. We could have been talking about a couple of guys who were out and they were spreading the gospel. They were out preaching and doing what they should be doing for the glory of God. And the next thing you know, they find themselves in prison. They find themselves, they've been beaten and they've been cast into prison and they've been cast into the inner part of the prison just to be sure that they would not get out. They're being heavily guarded to be sure that they don't get out of this prison. I picture more of a dungeon in my mind as these guys are sitting there, and then they could have been moaning and complaining. They could have been groaning. They could have been murmuring, and they could have been saying, oh God, why in the world have you done this to us? But the Bible tells us that they were sitting there and they were singing praises unto God. That Paul and Silas, that they've been arrested and they've been cast into prison, that they were there singing praises unto God. You know the story, how that at midnight a great earthquake happened and the whole jail that shook and everyone was turned loose. All of the doors were open and yet no one left. Yeah, everyone stayed right there instead of taking off and running. And there was a jailer sitting there that would have killed himself thinking that everyone had escaped. And one of them hollered out and said, hey, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. See, we see these men, they could have been murmuring and complaining, but they give God glory, even in the middle of a hardship, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a tribulation, what it may seem to us, in the middle of a time that it may have looked like that God wasn't taking care of them. We know that God was, but it could have seemed that God wasn't taking care of them, or that God had removed His hand from their protection. We could imagine all of those thoughts and those feelings going through their mind, but yet they sit there in the jail, praising God, worshiping God, giving God glory. God, help me in all of these situations in my life that I give you glory. God, there's going to be some times that I need to give you glory by running and leaping and praising God. There's going to be times when I just need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in my right mind, listening for Him to speak to me. There's going to be times in my life when I need to be worshiping in the middle of trouble. And there's going to be times in my life when I need to go back and right a wrong in my life in order to give God glory. There's so many different ways that we can give God glory, and it should be because of who God is and not because of what He's done. So I want to get to the one that we are going to talk about tonight. In John chapter number 4, I know we could have talked about all these other people, but I didn't really want to go there tonight, so I wanted to share this one with you. John chapter number 4, we find that Jesus is getting ready to go somewhere, and He tells the disciples, He says, hang on, I must need to go through Samaria. The Bible tells us that He ends up at a well there. And as He's sitting here at the well, there's a woman that also is at that well. And as Jesus begins to have conversation with her, He opens the conversation with her by asking her for a drink of water. Well, first of all, He shouldn't have even been talking to her. He shouldn't have even approached her because the two different ethnicities wouldn't have anything. The Jewish and the Samaritans wouldn't have anything to do one with another. And she couldn't believe that He had even asked her for a drink of water. But He made a special effort to be at this well at the time that this lady was going to be there at the well. He begins by asking her for a drink of water. Little did this woman know that this question, this opening question that began a conversation with Jesus Christ would change the rest of her life. I want to let you know something tonight, that when Jesus Christ speaks to you, if you'll take just a minute and you'll listen for Him in your life, He will change your entire life. He will work miracles in your life that you didn't know could happen. He will change everything about your life if you will listen to what He has to say. But He begins to ask her for a drink of water, and then as she begins to give Him reasons why she shouldn't give Him a drink of water, and then why she couldn't give Him a drink of water because He had nothing to draw with, He begins to introduce to her a different kind of water. He began to introduce to her a living water. He said it would be a well of living water springing up on the inside of us, and that she would never thirst again. And as they're there having this conversation at the well, it also comes about that he says, I want you to go back and I want you to find your husband, and I want you to bring him here to the well. And as he says that, she says, but you don't understand. I don't have a husband. And he said, oh, I understand completely, and you're right. You don't have a husband, but you have been with five husbands, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. He lays her sin out right there in front of everybody. See, you know what? God knows our sin. I don't know why we try to hide our sin from God. I don't know why we try to fix it ourselves or why we try to scoot it under the rug or anything else. God knows our sin, and when it comes into our life, we need to confess it to Him. We need to say, here, God, I need help with this. Quit trying to hide your sin from God. He knows it. You may hide it from the preacher. You may hide it from the church. You may hide it from the family, but I want to assure you tonight that God knows your sin, and it's better off when we just get that sin out in the open with God and say, God, here's my sin. I need forgiveness of it. God, I want to repent of it and turn away from this sin. But as her sin is just laid out, I want you to notice what happens. She begins to have thought of this living water that Jesus has introduced her to. She begins to have thought of this water where she would never thirst again. The things that she had tried here in this life, here in this world, didn't satisfy her. None of those men seemed to be the answer to her life's happiness. And now here she is, as Jesus Christ has introduced her to the living water, to this well of living water, she begins to see fulfillment in her life. She begins to understand how this life could be fulfilling for her. See, you know what? There's a lot of us that are still searching for life to be fulfilling for us. See, we want to look in different things and different places, whether it be a muscle car here or a ball game over there or money over here or whatever it is. I want to tell you the only thing that can fill you and that can fulfill you in this life is Jesus Christ and the right relationship with Him. You may say, well, preacher, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may do it, but if you're not still completely fulfilled, if you still don't feel like your life is fulfilled in that relationship with Jesus Christ, you might not have the right relationship with Him. You say, well, what do you mean? Do you think I missed something? I don't know. Only you and God know that. But what I can say is this. Maybe your relationship with Christ is not number one. Maybe my relationship with Christ is not number one. And that's the reason that life has not been fulfilling for us. As this woman, she begins to understand about this well of living water. As she begins to understand what Jesus is talking about, I want you to notice, I want to show you something in John chapter number 4, verse number 28. The one scripture that I wanted to get to, as she's here at this well, I want to show you how she begins to give God glory. This is one I wanted to focus on for just a second tonight. See, there's a lot of things that I can do in my life to give God glory. I can run and leap and praise God. And I love it when the Holy Spirit comes to me, whether it be at work through some scriptures that someone shared and those Holy Ghost goosebumps jump on my arm, whether I have that moment, or whether I'm going down my in the road in my truck and I'm listening to gospel music and I feel the presence of God, or whether I'm watching one of my children and they do something that makes me feel the presence of God. I love those times. But I want to show you what happened right here as we're looking tonight. As Jesus Christ introduces her to the well of living water in verse number 28, the Bible says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? See, whether it be walking and leaping and praising God, whether it be righting my wrongs, whether it be doing these other things that we were talking about, sitting clothed in your right mind at the Christ, just worshiping Him, or whether it be these other things that we've talked about tonight, I want to show you one thing that I desire with my life in order to give God glory. See, I want to give Him glory because of who He is. One thing that I want to make a real effort in my life to use to give Him glory is to tell others about Him. See here in verse number 28, the woman left her water pot. The one thing that she had went to this well for, the one thing that was really important as she went here to this well, all of a sudden after she met Jesus Christ, it wasn't even that important anymore. She left her water pot laying there. The one thing that she was focused on, getting the water. The one thing that she went with a desire for. the one thing that seemed so important, she left there at the well. And the Bible tells us that she said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I want to give God glory with my life by telling others about Jesus Christ. I want to give God glory with my life that no matter what, that I want to tell others. See, this woman may have been at the well by herself because everybody else didn't want anything to do with her. Maybe she had stolen some of their husbands. Maybe some of them, that their men had left for her, and that was those five that she had. Maybe all the women there in town gathered in a little group and talked about her from time to time because of the lifestyle that she had had. Maybe nobody had really any use for her, and she was out here at the well all by herself. But I want you to know something, that Jesus Christ had use for her, that Jesus Christ loved her, and he went by and he introduced her to a well of living water. And I want you to notice how she gives him glory. She runs to tell others. Those people that may have cast her out, those people that might have been talking about her. Church, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I find myself guilty. I witness to people that I want to witness to. I tell others, I give God glory by telling the people that I want to know. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, as long as it's not too hard, or it's not going to be confrontational, or it's not going to, you know, people look at me like I'm some kind of holy roller, or people look at me like, oh man, what in the world's he doing? This guy, he thinks he's super spiritual. And I know there's always a way to do it in love. And if you can't witness to somebody in love, I'll give you the same advice my grandpa gave me when I started preaching. He said, when God sends those strong, stern messages, don't preach them until you can preach them in love. When you get somebody on your heart and on your mind that you need to go witness to, that you want to give God glory by going and telling them about Jesus Christ, don't go until you can go in love. Because I want to tell you what, we were all bound, we were all doomed for the same hell had it not been for the blood of Jesus Christ. And those people that are still lost, they're in no different shape than what you and I may be if it not for Jesus Christ. So as we go throughout the week and we want to give God glory with our lives, let's do it by telling others about Jesus Christ, not caring about who they are or what they've done. That's none of my business whatsoever. That's between them and God. When God puts somebody on your heart, when God gives you that opportunity to give him glory by telling someone else about Jesus Christ, let's go and do what God has told us to. Because I want you to see the result of that in verse number 39. Look at verse number 39 with me, and I'll be done. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Now that's bringing God glory. How long has it been since you told somebody about Jesus Christ? How long has it been since I've told somebody, I mean, just got down where the rubber meets the road in love, knowing that God is in the midst, knowing that God is wanting to get glory by them coming to know Jesus Christ. How long has it been? Not just inviting them to church. Hey, I love the share. Share, 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 share. And that's wonderful, but it's easy to hit that button and invite your friends to come and listen to our Facebook live feed. But I want to tell you something. I think we have a greater responsibility than that. I think we have a responsibility to give God glory by going and telling others about Jesus Christ. I don't do it anywhere enough, near enough. I'm definitely too guilty to stand here and preach this message tonight. But I do want you to know something, that God's word, sometimes it cuts coming and a going, and it cut on me as I was studying, preparing for this. We say we want to give God glory. There's many different ways to give God glory, but I think one of the strongest ways that we can is to point others to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll forgive me for not always being what I should be, for not telling others about Jesus Christ. God, for sometimes pointing and that I select who to tell about Jesus instead of saying, God, please put someone in my path every single day that I may point them to Jesus Christ. God, help me to give you glory in all of these different ways with my life. But God, I truly desire a close enough walk with you and a relationship with you that I know when you have opened doors and that you want me to give you glory by telling someone else about your son, Jesus Christ. God, help us that we walk in a way that gives you glory, that we talk in a way that gives you glory, that we act in a way that gives you glory. And God, I pray that you'll help us in everything that we do, that we always do our best to listen for you in our lives and we yield ourselves to the Spirit. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be in your word tonight. God, I want to thank you for taking and cutting me up with it. I want to thank you for showing me where I'm wrong. And God, I pray that you'll help me, that I'll surrender those parts of my life to you. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.